Sonia Schmansky, the policy level, if you're not getting the information you need, or if you need to know who to speak to or whatever. So that'll be our sort of oversight model in my office, making sure you're getting what you need.
And I think that's right, and I think that's very analogous to what we see, you know, if we for some reason aren't getting you know, either formally or informally information from utilities, then, you know, we go to the PUC and either they have it or, you know, they can basically say, let's provide this information. So that analogy, I think, is very workable.
But I haven't run into, you know, problems, and it's, you know, the way it's kind of playing out is on both bureaus, it seems like I have a point person who often is, like, directing me who to talk to, and as I establish those relationships, I'm, you know, contacting them directly, typically, you know, letting my point person, you know, not necessarily copied on every single email, but at least, you know, the initial email, the point person's copied, so they have a sense of, you know, what's happening. So it will continue. It'll continue to evolve, but there haven't been issues.
Yeah,
thus
and I
far.
Think we want to encourage as decentralized a process as possible, so you're getting what you need with the least resistance.
Yeah.
Other questions? We really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So, do we have other folks signed up to testify?
Yes, I have two others: Mike Ellis and Everett Yaros.
Please come on up.
Who's Everett?
Yeah, commissioners, I'm going to be very short. I'm a member of the Budget Advisory Committee. I'm not going to repeat what I told you out at Park Rose when we conducted a hearing.
Yes.
But I did want to follow up on a comment here. The citizens who are generalists, just like the Cub people, are dealing with two sets of balancing acts. One, the first one is simple logistics. We work over a very short and intense timeline between the end of fall and the beginning of spring to deal with huge and complex issues. And so that's the first balancing act. And I was intrigued by the notion brought forth by PERB that we have budget that runs for a longer period of time so that we could spend more time with the specialists within the agency, which mirrors what the Cub person has just said. And that's just intriguing to me because I found everything very intense. And the staff made it as easy as possible for people like me to feel that they'd made a sensible decision. This is my ninth year working on community resource planning, but 3 years here and 6 years somewhere else. The other balancing act, which worried me all the time, was the notion that we had to keep the cost as low as possible, but at the same time, we were juggling the fact that we were kicking the can down the road on our asset management. In other words, we're playing the old game, which is short-term comfort rather than short-term intense discomfort necessary to really update and modernize our huge infrastructure. Those are the two balancing acts, and I'm going to get off the line here because...
No, Commissioner Novick and I were looking at each other because we can relate to that question on another front.
And actually, on this front, I wanted to comment that one part of the Cub report was commenting on deferred rate increases being a problematic strategy because if you defer them, that means that you have to have bigger rate increases down the line.
Yeah. As one of the citizens on the back, we were very conscious of that, and we felt a pressure all the time to move towards lower rates rather than responsible higher rates. I don't know how you deal with it. That's what you guys get the
back for. If I could also add on the question of resilience, the Tribune ran a story last week on ideas that a reporter had developed on how you could defer costs or reduce costs. And one of my least favorite was deferring moving on a new secure pipe under the Willamette. That's resilient. And it turns out that our current pipes are not resilient. And it's not because we say so. It's because the regulators tell us. And so we have that challenge. And it did strike me, though, interesting that the two people that proposed that particular cut or deferral lived on the east side, not the west side. And I think you'd have a different view of this if you lived on the west side or you're one of our wholesale customers and you were, as I put it, you were looking at playing Russian roulette with their water supply. But those are the kinds of tough decisions. And do you keep sort of rolling the dice and saying you can defer putting a pipe that's resilient, hoping that the big one doesn't hit? And then what happens when it does?
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate your help. Good afternoon.
Hi. My name is Everett Jaros. I'm at 401 North Blandina Street. I have a small pad.
Oh, okay. There we go. Thanks, Carla.
I have been on the water bill discount program a couple of times, and I found it very helpful, and made my bill, my water and sewer bill, actually affordable. Unfortunately, I lost the discount when a housemate moved in whose income put me over the eligibility for the program, even though, of course, we don't generally share our resources. So it was basically just more money that I have to pay out of my pocket. I would ask, however, why should anyone have to pay for those extra expenses that that people on the discount program are forgiven? The expenses that are caused by what I understand are insider contracts with including CH2M Hill. What's been referred to as slush funds for various expenses that are not related at all or only tangentially related to water and sewer, and the our elected officials choosing to surrender to the demands of the federal government for their for costly projects that seem to be driven by the anti-terrorism industry. I realize that none of you directly created any of these problems, either in the city or the impositions that have been placed on this on the city and our water system. However, it is your responsibility to deal with them and correct them. It was testified earlier that the water is delivered to our homes for just a few cents per gallon. Well, if the water can be delivered so cheaply, why is my water bill so high, and why is it so incomprehensible? I've passed out pamphlets. There's four pages in each. They're chronological in how I ordered them. The first page is the itemization of my water bill, which is January 23rd through the 4th. It's handwritten because I don't have a working printer, and the access, and I can't access the online system because every time I go in there, it used to just take my password, which I used for a couple of years, and now it will accept, if it gives me a new password, it accepts the password once and then it requires a new password, so I can't reuse the password. That's basically my experience with the billing system. You look at that bill, there's about six charges for the January bill, I think it was, for late fees. None of them are called late fees, but the most expensive one being a $70-some charge for pre-cutoff notice. I would just ask you, is that conscionable? How is that conscionable? Please explain to me how that is conscionable. And yes, some of those were forgiven, the $10 and $15 ones, a couple of them were forgiven. The $70 one wasn't. That was imposed after we'd already contacted the Water Bureau trying to find out what was owed. I don't seem to get the bills. These I got recently. I don't seem to get a bill every quarter. I know I'm not on top of everything, and sometimes I misplace them, but as I say, I can't get it online. I don't know. I just would ask you to not raise the rates until you fix your billing and accounting and collecting for payments.
So Mr. Is it Jaros?
Yes.
So first of all, thank you very much for coming today and testifying. Before you go today, we're going to pair you up with someone who's going to take a look at your bill and follow up with you on your concerns, including the cover memo. So thank you for bringing that to our attention. One thing I do just want to note on the bill you've given us, your quarterly water bill was $55.
Right.
Which means you're about 18, if my math is correct, that's about $18 a month, which puts you well below our typical customer. So that's good news. Your sewer charge may or may not be in line with others. We can take a look at that and apprise you of anything that we can do differently. In terms of late charges and other things, if there's a problem on our end in terms of billing you or communicating with you, we'll fix that because we don't believe in dinging people for honest mistakes. And finally, I just noted, because you mentioned a couple of other things characterizing some prior decisions of the council. Again, your water bill is well below the average the typical monthly, and that's actually not what's driving your rate. It's on the sewer side. And when you mentioned we had surrendered to the federal government, I understand that's a familiar tagline. I get lots of emails from people who say that. I just want to reassure you that no city in America, not one, not even New York, has received relief from the federal government on the rule that you and others feel strongly about. No city has received a waiver or a variance. The only city in America that has received relief on the other side of that reservoir rule, which is the treatment rule, is the city of Portland. So when we say surrender, I think we have to put it in the context. We're the only city in America that got relief on one side of the ledger. No other city was able to pull that off, which to me speaks to a certain dogged perseverance on the part of Portland. And on the other side of the ledger, the surrender you're referring to, if it's applicable to our city, it would be applicable to every city in America because not a single city or jurisdiction in the country has received the relief that you and others seek. And I'm not questioning whether it's appropriate to seek that. It has not been obtained by anyone else. So I don't want you to think that we're in the business of putting up the biggest white flag out there in terms of surrendering. No city has been able to get that relief. But we will meet with you privately right after this hearing and address your concerns about your bill, and we appreciate you coming with that.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your comments. I do want to say, do notice, a few cents a gallon, and as you note, my water usage is apparently below average, and yet $370-some on the last bill. So, no, and my problem isn't with the charge for the water, and please keep it clean, is it? As it is now with Bull Run. What are all these other charges?
Can you stick around for a few minutes after the hearing?
Yeah.
And we'll have two people sit down with you, sir, and thank you for bringing it to our attention.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Anyone else signed up?
That's all who I had signed up.
So this also moves to second reading, and we will conclude, and we are adjourned until next week. Thank you.